Could open your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. The book of Proverbs, chapter 27. What a wonderful book we have called the Bible. Someone said this book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass. Where's our pilot? Is he here today? No. The pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven is opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object, our good is its grand design, and the glory of God is its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened in the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Amen. I got to say amen to that. What a wonderful book we have called the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 27, and verse number 1, Solomon says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." What a difference a day makes in our life. One day can change everything in our life. Proverbs mostly was written by Solomon. He seems to have the same relationship to Proverbs as his father David had to the book of Psalms. Each was the principal writer. Psalms is a book of devotion and worship. Proverbs is a book of ethics and wisdom. As a young man, Solomon had a consuming desire for wisdom. When he was the young king, he prayed earnestly for God to give him wisdom. And God said, "Ask me what you want, I'll give whatever you want." Boy, what a question. Imagine if God said that to you, called you by your name and said, "This is your day. I'm going to give you one request, and whatever it is, I'll give it to you." I'll tell you, I'd have to do some serious thinking about that one. Amen? I mean, if God would give you one thing, whatever you wanted. But Solomon, as the king of all Israel, as a young man, he says, "God, this responsibility upon me is so great. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I need your wisdom. I want wisdom." And he craved and desired wisdom. And God said, "Solomon, because you didn't ask for money, and because you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for anything but wisdom, I'm going to not only give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you power, and I'm going to give you wealth." And God blessed Solomon, and he was the wisest man of his time. As a young man, kings came to hear him speak. He had so much wisdom. He was the intellectual giant of his time. He lectured on botany, zoology. He was a scientist, a political ruler, a businessman. He had vast empires, and he was a preacher. And he says here, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." There's a play in New York called Annie. Annie's a little orphan girl. And the theme song of the play is she sings "Tomorrow." Tomorrow, I love you tomorrow, it's only a day away. What a difference a day can make. Amen? One day can change our life forever. One day can give us great hope. One day could destroy some people. One day makes all the difference in the world. So many people today are either living in the past or they're living towards the future and not enjoying the present. The day. Today is the only day that we are sure of. And today passes many people by. They miss the opportunity to reach out to a loved one, to speak a kind word. They're too busy. to give an embrace, to write a letter. In our day, send a video stream by cell phone. I tell you, that's a dangerous toy my daughter gave me for Christmas. She says, "Dad, you keep sending me pictures and videos." I said, "I just want you to see what's happening during my day." Thing is, they all send me back half as much as I send to them. But to enjoy the day, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What a difference a day makes. There are folks here, some folks here, that remember some very significant days in our history. Some remember the day Pearl Harbor was attacked, December 7th, 1941. It was a little bit before my time, but it was a day that lived in infamy for generations. And the day that the first atomic bomb was dropped, it was the talk of the world, talk of the universe, such a monumental day. I tell you, that day made a difference in the whole world. The world was never the same after that. World War II ended. When World War II ended, the whole world celebrated. All the nations of the earth were overjoyed, celebrated in the streets for days. What a difference that day made. And of course, we've experienced our own tragedies of September 11th. And that day will live in the memory of everyone who's alive on the planet. But what a difference a day makes. I'd like to share with you some days in the Bible that surely made a difference. One day is the first day that sin entered into this world. The world's never been the same. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, please. Up until then, man was in harmony with God, living in a paradise, no neighbors, living in a paradise. No taxes, that would be a paradise. No bills, no doctors, no lawyers. No headaches, no aspirins, no surgery, no arthritis. No Alzheimer's. Couple brave souls there. All of those things have not come because man was in harmony with God. Sin was not even a word. And in Genesis chapter 3, notice, who comes on the scene but a talking snake? Say, "Pastor, did other animals talk before the fall?" It's possible. I don't see Eve as startled saying, "Why are you talking?" That's one of the mysteries I don't have an answer for, but it's possible. Notice, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Which, you know, that would have been something to see animals talking to people before the fall, if it happened. It's more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the woman said, and the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know, sin will always make man hide from God. Sin will always make man hide from the presence of God. Do you know this book that we talked about earlier in the introduction of the sermon? This book will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from this book. Amen. All this Bible reading and studying should be such a part of our life that we do it by schedule, by routine, and then it becomes our delight, that we look forward to it. Then we realize we are in a struggle because we realize that there are forces trying to keep us from this book and keep us from this church and keep us from prayer and keep us from the things that make us strong. Yes, that day of sin was quite a day. When sin entered the world. And the results of that day are with us still today. World's never been the same. Before sin came, Adam had a helpmeet. Creation was finished. They lived in a paradise. But not all the things that we contend with today, especially death. But that day changed the world forever. And there, the effects of that day is still with us today. And sin, as a famous evangelist once said, sin fascinates, then it assassinates. Sin kills the dreams of young people. So many young people go off to school with dreams and goals, and many of them get entangled in sin. And what the first thing it does is it destroys their dreams, destroys their plans. Young people, sin is your enemy. It is our enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil are the things we battle down here. Aren't you glad one day that battle will be over? We'll leave it all behind. Yes? Someone said the character of a man's actions is determined by the moral state of his heart. The Bible says, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who could know it? That's our flesh. I was talking to an unsaved religious person recently, and they're trying to tell me that if they just try a little harder to be good, that God will be happy with them. And I says, no, sir. The heart is desperately wicked. Who could know it? In the flesh, we cannot please God. You must be born again. You've got to trade in your religion for Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. He is the gift of God. He is the one that sticketh closer than a brother. He's our Redeemer. When He died on the cross, He died to pay for all of our sins. And that is what you need, not another religion. Not trying to do good. Well, that day was quite a day, that's for sure. There's another day I'd like to share with you in the Scriptures, and I'd like you to go to the book of Job. One day changed his life forever. Job's remembered as one that suffered greatly. Job chapter 1, a day of suffering. A day that turned his life around. A day that he lost 10 of his children in one day. I'll tell you, that is heartbreaking. Job chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Here's a man of great substance, a man of great wealth. Then we go down to verse number 13. The day that changed his life forever. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside themselves. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Did you ever say what else could happen? Boy, you never know, do you? It just keeps getting worse. Notice verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I imagine this man is in shock right about now. But in spite of being in shock, his heart is turned towards God. Verse 20, he says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and cursed and swore and went for the liquor cabinet. Did it say that? No, it didn't, did it? It's amazing. I read these words and I say, what a guy. What a man of faith. He fell down upon the ground and worshiped with a broken heart, saying, God, I don't understand all that has happened. I don't know why this is happening. But he is worshiping God. Verse 21, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What faith that man had. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. How unlike Job we are many times. We get bent out of shape over so little. Here's a man that lost everything. 10 children. He lost his wealth. He lost his ability to create wealth, and he even loses his health later on in the story. And suffering comes into his life in chapter 2, in verse number 7. So when Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. She had had it. She had had enough. She was not as strong as he was, that's for sure. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. I'll tell you. Even though his life was changed forever, he still retained his faith in God. You know, many times our faith is also a shield as well as a sword. Sometimes our faith is for conquering and to seeing great things accomplished. Other times our faith is to sustain us. I'm surprised at what makes people quit today. People quit over so little today. And it shows that their faith is small. Job obviously had great faith because he went through so much and still retained his faith in God. I think a person is great not so much by what they accomplish, by what it takes to make them quit. He still hasn't quit in his heart. 10 children. Imagine a funeral for 10. Imagine all this man went through. And still, he is worshiping God. What an example he is. What a great example of faith. There's another day I'd like to share with you. And that was the day in the life of the Apostle Paul. I'd like you to look at Acts chapter 26. He's standing before King Agrippa. And he is a prisoner. And he's giving his personal testimony. He's telling the king how he came to Jesus Christ and became a believer and a follower when once he was persecuting Christians and the church. Acts chapter 26, please, in verse number 9 through 11. Acts chapter 26, verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. You say, Pastor, could God ever save me? Let me ask you, did you ever execute Christians? If not, God saved Saul. I believe he'll save anyone, don't you? And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. He's saying, I went to Christians and threatened them with death if they would deny that they believe in Christ. I might spare them. This is the kind of man he was. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Saul was saying, I did not even have the authority to go after them, but I received authority that I might continue my pursuit in going after them and killing them. But then something happened. In verse number 13, he says, at midday, O king, I saw the way, a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, your conscience is bothering you. Your conscience is being goaded like with a stick. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's what salvation is, by the way, when we're turned from Satan unto God by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ as our Savior, God writes our name in heaven. We receive the gift of God. We become His child. So many things happen when we ask Jesus into our heart. Take a lifetime to study all the good things that God has done for us. From the power of Satan unto God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by Christ that is in me. Here Saul says, there was a day that came into my life, the day of salvation, and I have not gotten over it yet. And though I stand before you condemned of great crimes, he says, I must tell people how good the Lord is. He died on the cross for our sins. And even though I blasphemed, and even though I persecuted his children, and even though I saw to it that many of them were put to death, he still loved me. He still saved me. And he still called me to be a witness unto himself. Have you ever experienced that day of salvation in your life where Jesus became your very best friend? And you invited him into your heart and life. What a day a difference makes. Amen. Of all the days you've ever lived, without that one day that you trusted Christ, it would all be in vain, wouldn't it? What a difference that day made in your life and in mine. That day of salvation, what a great day. There's another day in the Bible that was a great day that made all the difference in the world, and that was the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to live and to indwell in believers. The Holy Spirit came down and the disciples were miraculously empowered, and even Peter, who had denied Christ, said, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. And betrayed Christ, cursing and swearing. Even him. The power came on him as he repented, and he preached a powerful sermon, thousands saved by Peter. What a day that, what a difference that day made, because that was the beginning of the Holy Spirit living in people, and it's been going on for 2,000 years, from heart to heart, from heart to heart. When we're saved, we're sealed, and He lives in us. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. For 2,000 years, Jesus has been touching lives every day. Amen? What a day. What a difference that day made, that the Holy Spirit is permitted to seal the believer and indwell the believer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. There's another day the Bible talks about. What a difference this day is going to make. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. This is the day that people have been waiting for many years. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And of course, verses 1 through 13 are talking about a day that Jesus said that He'd return. And basically said, I'm going to come back in a day when men love themselves. I'm going to come back in a day when men are selfish. I'm going to come back in a day when men love money and pleasure. I'm going to come back in a day when men are unthankful. Maybe unthankful enough to even outlaw Thanksgiving or Christmas. I'm going to come back in a day, perhaps, when it's against the law to even mention God in public. I'm going to come back in a day, perhaps, when you can't even talk about God at work. I'm going to come back in a day when men are unholy and perverted and perverse. I'm going to come back, perhaps, in a day when man even legalizes perverseness and being perverted without natural affections. He said, I'm going to come back in a day when that is the rule of the day and is talked about all the time. I'm going to come back in a day when military is in the news all the time and war is talked about all the time. I'm going to come back in a day when people slander each other. Not having any accountability. It's not written in the Bible, but maybe he was saying, I'm going to come back in a day of cyberspace slander. You can say anything to anybody. You'll never be held accountable. And how bold people are in cyberspace. Amen? Because they can change their names. You don't even know who you're talking to. And it gives them boldness. Jesus said, I'm going to come back in a day where there's traitors, where people will sell out their country. They'd rather have power and authority than to keep the people safe. The pastor was visiting in a home and he's talking to the father and he said, father was sitting there and he's petting his dog, good old faithful dog. And he says, where's your daughter tonight? He says, oh, I don't know. I said, well, how old is she? He said, well, she's 15, I think. Yeah, 15. And you don't know where she is? Nope, don't know where she is. Where's your dog? Oh, he's right here. I know where he is all the time. He cared more about his dog than his daughter. Did you hear me? Parents, you ought to know where your kids are all the time. All the time. And check up on them, make sure they're where they say they are. That's love. If you care about them, you'll care about where they are, who they're with. If you don't like who they're with, tell them. This person's off your friend list. Big X. And these are my reasons. Parents' job is not easy. But it's our responsibility. And if we love them, we'll do those things. We only have them a short time. I'll tell you, Brother Horton was so true at our banquet. Because they're gone after a while. Do the best we can with them, but they're gone after a while. Make the most of it. What the opportunities we have for them. But Jesus said, I'm going to come back in a day when all that is happening. I don't know about you, but it sounds a lot like today. Just know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. We live in a day where children are killing parents and parents are killing children. It doesn't get worse than that. It used to be shocking. Unfortunately, it's happening all over the country and around the world. It's a terrible thing. Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Jesus said, I'm going to come back in a day when people that are good are going to be looked upon as being evil. You spank your children? You're wicked. You make them go to church? You're wicked. They should decide for themselves. You're bad. Oh, you're really bad. You make them read the Bible. Oh, they must think I'm really bad. Our children memorize scripture before they learn how to talk. Does God care if they mispronounce words in the Bible? I think he's amused. I used to stand before my boys and say, boys, the Bible's the Word of God. They couldn't even talk yet, but they'd sit there on the floor. I'd say, say it after me. Bible's the Word of God. John said, Bible is Word of God. I say, John, there's no mistakes in the Bible. Say it with me. No mistakes in the Bible. John stood there on the floor and said, no mistakes in Baba. Later on, he said, Dad, it was a great awakening one day when I realized that for so long I thought that we weren't allowed to eat steak. No steaks in the Bible. And I realized that it was the word mistake. I'll tell you what, I'll take that mistake over any other. And we used to line the kids up and I get out a package of cigarettes, I put it on the floor, and I'd stomp and I'd say, Dad! Now you do it, John. John goes, Bad! All right, Matthew, it's your turn. You get up there. I said, no, I'll do it three times. Bad! Another one couldn't walk, he'd crawl up there and try to eat it. I get a picture of a bottle of whiskey and I put it on the floor and I say, whiskey bad. The kids would go up there and they say, whiskey bad. Who says you can't have fun training your children? Amen. And we used to teach the boys to open the door for their sister. Oh, they loved. That was like pulling teeth. Little kids. Now I want you to stand when your sister walks into the room. She's going to represent a lady. Now they're sitting there. They're all fun and games. And in comes Lori. And jump up. Oh, listen, it can be fun raising children if we give it all of our heart. Amen. But we can't expect them to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves. Because it'll only make them bitter. It'll only make them angry. Yes, Jesus said when these things come about, that's kind of a day that it's going to be like when I return. You know, the more I think about it, it sounds kind of like today. Well, a day can make a big difference, that's for sure. It did when sin entered this world. It did in Job's life when he experienced great suffering. You know, suffering can be a tragedy in our life or it can be a stepping stone. It all depends on how we deal with it. It can draw us closer to God or it could drive us away in anger and bitterness. But I'm glad that God won't give us more than we can bear. And he also says there's no temptation taken to you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Temptation is a strong impulse. But you know what? You know you're in a fight when you can feel temptation. It's when you can't feel temptation that you're already a prisoner again. Oh yes, we've got an enemy, that's for sure. Same enemy Job had, that accuses us, that wishes us harm. But thank God, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who overcame death and Satan himself. Yes, and the day of salvation made a big difference in your life. That one day changed it all for eternity. That one day made a difference for 100 million centuries. We're going to be like him in another paradise, which we don't know a whole lot about. We only know the Lord has been working on it. That old carpenter, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you into myself. What's that place like, Pastor? I don't know. But I know it's going to be a great place. And it's going to be specially designed for you in mind. Isn't it fun when young couples first have children? They fix up that first bedroom. They put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. Only to watch that young son or daughter rip that wallpaper down one day. When they get up, they learn how to stand, and they get in that crib, and they just start tearing. But if parents show that much love and affection towards their own, how much more does God, who is preparing a place for us? Amen. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, the day that the Holy Spirit came to live in believers. Because without him, we'd have no compass. Without him, we'd have no conscience. Without him, we would lose our way. He's the one that brings us back. He's the one that energizes us. He's the one that leads us on. And of course, lastly, that other day is going to come one day. And that is the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. And boy, that's going to wake up. Talk about waking up the dead. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Head bowed and eyes closed. Our piano starts to play verse of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd have your will done in our lives. I thank you so much for days that make a difference. And Lord, especially the day on Calvary where you died and made a difference for the whole world, for all that will believe, for all that will come. May you have your will this morning in our lives with our heads bowed and eyes closed as our pianist plays a verse of invitation. I'm just going to give this time over to you and the Lord. If you'd like to talk to the Lord about anything this morning, now's the time to open your heart. While you're doing that, I'd just like to ask if perhaps there's someone here this morning that's never trusted Jesus. Though you may be religious, but you've never invited the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. This morning, you can do it. If you'd like to be remembered in prayer this morning, say, Pastor, I'd like to be saved. I'd like Jesus in my heart. I want to be remembered in prayer. Could I see your hand? Would you raise it high? Anyone like that? Pray for you. I don't know your heart, but I know he can enter a heart. He can enter a child's heart as well as a senior citizen. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question this morning. I'd like you to make the devil mad Wednesday night at 7:30. Come to church. Make the devil mad. It will make God happy. It'll bless you. It'll strengthen the church. And your pastor, well, you just have to see for yourself. How many of you say, Pastor, I'm going to start. I've been thinking about it. I'm going to start coming to church Wednesday nights for prayer meeting. God is speaking to my heart. I just want you to know I'm supporting it. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I'd like to see your hand. Anyone like that? God bless you. God bless you and you and you and you and you. God bless you and you. What a difference a day makes. What a difference this day is going to make in our church. God bless you. Father, have your will in our lives this morning. We love you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.